This is Brian Meador from East Carolina University. You are listening to The Sports Objective, the official, unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective here on a Tuesday evening. We have Bubba Rosenbaum that's producing tonight behind the scenes. But I'll tell you what, we have got a very special show tonight. We got two of my favorite people, one I haven't met, never met yet, and one that I've known for a long time. And first making her debut on the Sports Objective tonight, Marilyn Payne, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be doing this tonight. I'm also a little bit of like a, this is not maybe not tech nerd, but I'm taking in the way that y'all have this produced, and I'm so impressed by it. I feel like you guys were probably ahead of the curve when the rest of us had to go remote.
Well, that's one of the only good things about the pandemic is Bubba found this. We were trying to not to be too inside baseball. We were trying to find something we could use Facebook Live and not have it look like that we're just doing it from home. And so he stumbled across it at the spring of 2020. So that was one of the only good things that came out of the pandemic. One of my buddies from way back, the last two or three years, I guess it's 3 years. You've been with us a long time. Jay Sunhalter, the former tight end. He's played like 10 sports in high school, I think. What's up, dude?
What's up, Dave? I miss you. Bubba, good to be on Maryland. Here.
That's one of my running jokes with him. Like when I first met him, he told me he played four sports in high school. And each time I think that you do an interview with us, we just add another sport. So how many you played in high school?
Played every sport there is.
Yeah, well, my son just asked. He didn't realize that he's 8 years old. He thought you can only play one sport in high school. So when I told him, he said, you can play more than one sport? And I said, yes. And I said, you're in a 1A school, so you're going to be playing like sports you probably don't even want to play just so we can field a team. So speaking of which, I know both of you are a great team. And we have two, like the Meatloaf song, Jay, two out of three ain't bad. We have both of you, you guys do a Friday night football show, right? Where you're doing the broadcast a game?
Yeah, we do Friday night rivals. So every Friday night, we have the top high school game in the Raleigh area. So this week, we're going to be over at Durham Jordan, and we're doing Durham Jordan versus Northern Durham. And for Durham Jordan, we're actually covering Justin Allred, who used to be offense coordinator at Rose, and then the OC for Jordan's Copeland Spell, who used to be the quarterback at Rose. So a little bit of a homecoming.
There you go. I'll tell you what, Marilyn, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to ask you, this is something you'll be able to tell me without a doubt. Who's a bigger diva, Patrick Johnson, our friend P-Man, or Jay Sunhalter to deal with, a diva? Who's the biggest diva to deal with on air?
Jay, it's not Jay. But I don't know that it's Patrick either. I think this is my first fall with this particular crew. I've done FNR, Friday Night Rivals, with Sinclair since, really my first experience with them was December of 2018 with the state championships, and then was in the Asheville, Spartanburg, Anderson, Western North Carolina, and Upstate South Carolina market. And I've never worked with either of them. I've known Jay for a while. I have known of Patrick forever, but never worked with him either. And this has, and I'm not just saying this because like Jay's here, like you can comb through my emails with the people who hired me for this role. It's been such a nice crew to be on. Like everybody, we work well together. They look out for me. Like they look out for one another. I don't know if there's a diva, it's me. Cause I have to, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services is a sponsor. So every time we do their interview, there's a mask. And so then I always have to stop and like refix my hair and do my lipstick. And then they always are giving me crap for it in the truck. So honestly, it's probably me.
So it's not Patrick redoing his lipstick. So
You know, Jay did ask for some one time, but I told him he looked good enough without it that it wouldn't.
That's right. He's the male model of the Sports Objective for sure.
Jay. Yeah, I actually the highlight of the year has been that Jay, I was told once, wanted to model his career after Jesse Palmer, which I would have a lot more nuanced jokes about if I had watched any of the Bachelor franchise. But Jay's promised me that he'll get me caught up on everything I need to know about America's favorite worst television show.
Actually, Jay's going to be the next Bachelor. That's breaking news we're going to have, right? What do you think, Jay?
Did I just break that? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
The PR department's going to come after me soon.
That'll be a lot of fun. So actually, we'd love to have you if you could come to East Carolina and cover the Pirates. That'll be fantastic with Jay. Right, Jay?
Marilyn, we need you down east with the Pirates.
I covered a few of ECU's games when I was in my early to mid 20s, and they were fantastic. That whenever you guys rolled the show open here tonight, I was like, dang, I haven't been in Dowdy-Ficklin since Carolina played there to start the 2018 season. That's the last time I was out there. Maybe, you know, if we can find a Saturday that I don't have another game, I'd love to come.
Be a lot of fun. Jay, you gotta bring her down and show her the right way with the tailgates, right? I mean, our tailgates are legendary. They're
epic. Make it. You guys are so sorely disappointed so quickly.
Oh, you're not gonna come to the tailgate?
Well, I've never been good at day drinking.
Well, we have night games, don't we, Jay?
Yeah. We're gonna go to your tailgate, Dave.
What? Is David inviting me to the tailgate?
David's tailgate.
Yeah, sure. We'll make it right. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it right. There's actually the Thanksgiving one. It's probably the next time. Because the next time we have one is going to be like during Thursday night game is coming up. So, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a good one. South Florida on the 20. What is that, the 28th, Jay?
Yeah, on the 28th.
That sounds right. Yep. Yeah, Thursday the 28th. So, yeah, you're always welcome anytime.
I did go to the ECU like semester kickoff concert a few years ago, and it was Eric Church was the performer, and he was fantastic. And actually Kid Rock opened for him, which was so funny and random. We obviously didn't know that when we bought the tickets. That would be the most fun that I've ever had out there, because I wasn't working, of course, so I could actually, you know, enjoy myself. And we snuck down onto the lawn seats because it rained and people stop paying attention. And so that's maybe my like rowdiest ECU memory, but even that's pretty, I keep it between the lines.
Oh man, not Jay. Not Jay. Right, Jay?
I'm of the impression no Pirates do. That's the whole point, right?
That's right. What kind of music do you like while we have you on? What kind of music do you listen to?
I'm really bad at music. Like I like a lot, but I'm not a huge like go seeks new music person. I do really like country. I do really like hip hop. I hate to DJ. I hate the pressure of being asked to put a song on because I don't want anyone to think my music taste sucks, because it kind of probably does. So I would play like, I would just play like all throwbacks or like songs that kind of fall into like a generic like game day playlist or something like that.
How about we had Jay Teller, we had Parmalee here. You know, those guys are Pirates, and so yeah. They came and they did a pregame for the Pirate Club, and then the Pirate Club section, and then at halftime they played three songs. It was kind of like a mini version of the Super Bowl, how they have, you know, they performers. But I've never seen that. I've been going to football games at ECU since 1986, and I've never seen that before. So
that was
a lot of fun. So I want to talk about where I discovered you was WRAL Sports Fan. That's where I became a huge fan of your work. You did a lot of great stuff there, and actually you guys were doing a lot of stuff video wise and doing things streaming way before a lot of us could even dream about streaming. I actually was in the same parking lot as you guys, but a different company, and we didn't spend the money that we should have, but that's a whole nother show, shall we say. But you guys did a tremendous job with all the stuff there. I know you got a lot of experience, a lot of You went talk about some of your favorite memories of sporting events you covered.
Well, I graduated from Carolina 13 and freelanced in the Triangle my first year out of school, covering Duke and Carolina for the Rivals.com network, and then actually doing high school football at the time with what was Time Warner Cable. Right. And I never really wanted to do on-air TV only, especially at the local level, because I believe sports fans go places like here or Rivals or just .com or to sports networks. But I did do 1 year of only local TV in Charlottesville, Virginia. And Jeff Gravely was so kind to mentor me and to like meet me. And so he kind of explained the role at the time, which had been Aaron Summers' role. But they wanted to make it a lot more reporting. They wanted to make it a lot more writing. They wanted to make it kind of somebody who could do a little bit of a utility player thing. So it ended up being the perfect fit for me, because I wanted to write. I wanted to do TV. I wanted to do a little bit of radio here and there and digital video. So really, like, my first best memory of that job is that that job was everything. And that exactly as you said, we did things differently than every other local television station really in the country with sports. Nick Stevens and High School OT were beginning to do the live stream, like a Red Zone type Friday night thing, which was just insane. And so to see local television, again, at the time, prioritize sports at the level that they did was such an encouraging, such a validating, such a optimistic place to be. And so that was like the dream attitude to have about sports, and with, of course, the radio station there and that. Things pivoted quite significantly when there were some changes within the company, and you saw a little bit less of that on a pretty aggressive rate change. So when I talk about like what I loved about that job and what I gained most personally, though, it was what it's like to be in that environment where people really prioritize sports the way that they did. I got to cover ECU. I got to color Wake. Of course, got to cover the whole Triangle. If I pitched it, they said yes to everybody on our team throwing any story idea out there. And so that really too was the first time I ever got introduced to ECU and the fan base. When Zay Jones was still out there and had broke the national record for receptions in a career, I got to go down there and they let me cover that individually, which was fantastic. But then, you know, of course you get to do Duke Carolina, you get to do ACC football championship games, because Carolina went my first year, and two national championships in men's basketball. I mean, I interned at ABC 11 and TVD as a student. And so their videographer is named Charlie Mickens, and Charlie is a legend and he is fantastic. And he taught me a lot. Like, I mean, I didn't wear any makeup in college, and I didn't really, he was shooting stand-ups and they were the worst stand-ups in the world. And he was like, you know, next time maybe wear a blazer instead of a t-shirt. Like, that's how young and clueless I was when he got me. And after Chris Jenkins, so fast forward 8 years or seven, whatever it was, hits the shot to beat North Carolina in the national championship, Charlie was the first person to speak to me standing in line for the locker room, because nobody could speak. Like, we were all just looking at one another. We've been covering this team with like 8 consecutive 9 p.m. or later tip-offs. And he goes, So, what do you think of what you just saw there, Marilyn? And I couldn't say anything for a long time. Or what felt like a long time, it was probably 10 seconds. And I finally went, I will never watch a more impressive basketball game in my life. And that's really the big moment. But I think that job will be hard to beat for the rest of my life because of the way the company was when I got there in 2015. Because I got to work with Joe Ovius. It introduced me to Joe Giglio. It connected me with different fan bases. And I mean, it, like Dennis Smith's dunk in the Cameron Indoor Stadium that didn't count, but when State beat Duke at Carolina, or Duke at Duke, that was a huge moment. I don't know. There's been, it was a great job. It was a great job. And I grew so much as a, in my understanding of so many things, but yeah, anyways, that's way more on that probably than you really wanted.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Jay, I believe that, the guy that's holding out for more money tonight, I think we have a NIL deal we were supposed to do with Patrick Johnson. He's holding out until we did so. Do you guys have a favorite Patrick Johnson P-Man story that y'all can tell?
Well, I wish he was. I wish he was on with us, and I know he's enjoying some vacation right now. So he is relaxing. He's relaxing and enjoying some time by the coast. Boy, I'll tell you, we had a lot of fun this year. We've had a lot of fun this year with the P-Man, right, Marilyn?
We did. I think. Oh, I don't have. Whenever this was, maybe. Gosh, Jay, you've known him. I mean, you know him, his personality so much better, obviously, than I do. We got to Wakefield, though. Dave, you talk, you know, before we really started here about the number of sports Jay played. We got to go back to Wakefield for Jay's homecoming a couple of weeks ago. And Jay's on the phone doing his full-time job while we are kind of like running over game stuff and prepping. And Patrick just looks at me and goes, "We made a huge mistake." I was like, what happened? And he goes, "We didn't get an old yearbook picture of Jay." It was just like the most, because Patrick is always so, he's always got like, he's always thought of something, or he's always, you know, he's got it covered. And there was just this complete moment of being like, we missed it. We missed the perfect opportunity. That's really probably my favorite moment, was just seeing him be like totally mad at himself a little bit.
I would have given you guys my yearbook picture. I would have totally given it to y'all.
I mean, we were there though. It was like too late, basically.
Can I tell you a funny story? He'll kill me for telling the story, but my recent favorite Patrick Johnson story is he's doing a. I felt bad for him. He's doing a live broadcast at the stadium, and hopefully, I don't lose a media credential or anything for telling the story. But anyway, I'm kidding. I know the folks at ECU should be okay. But what happened is somebody from the station that he works parked the van in a spot they should have not parked. He's doing a live pregame show there at the stadium right as you walk into the stadium. And you see the P-Man running after. There's the van, and they're towing the van away. And there's P-Man. Does anybody have the keys? And one of my favorite – Ace will kill me. But that's what happens, P-Man. You got to come on the show. So – defend yourself. But yeah, that was back in the South. Hey, Jay, that was a South Carolina game, if my memory serves me right. So the setback on September 11th, and he, I felt bad for him because that spot is reserved for people that have probably been like rich donors since the 60s, I guess, for the Pirate Club. They're like the paved spots literally right behind the stadium, and somebody made the mistake of parking there. So love you, P-Man. I might have a friend left in Patrick Johnson by the end of the show. We'll see. But that's my favorite Patrick Johnson story of recent times that
What's
I can
think of. What's your best Jay Sunhalter story?
Wow. He is always – Jay is so cool and so slick. Like, he's like
– It was my life.
He's like Mr. Jinx. He's
one
like,
person who would say one bad thing about Jay.
No, he's like Mr. Smooth, like Mr. GQ, always polite. No doubt he makes a lot of bank when he does sales and, of course, all his money at ESPN. But I can't think of any – there's nothing that really stands out that I can think of because he's
there's always – no way that's true. I mean, the first part's probably true, but that you can't come up with a story, I'm not buying it.
I love you, Dave.
Checks in the mail, he says.
Yeah, exactly. He has a lot of –
I love you too, Marilyn. I love both of you.
No, I really – honestly, I'll try to think of something, but right now I can't think of anything offhand. Jay, how much are you paying me? No, I can't.
That
I don't want to
look. Be a text, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you have any? I wanted to ask you some college football questions, maybe generalities. How do you feel about name, image, likeness? Is something that we've been dealing with since July. Want to get your thoughts on that? And Jay, you being the former athlete after Maryland, ladies first. I want to get your take on that.
You say ladies first, and I think that's a great way to get into kind of answering it. I think there was this perception or this fear among generalized surface level sports fans that this would result in the rich getting richer, right? That, of course, your college quarterback, who's also going to be taken in the NFL draft, and all, you know, the skill position players and star defensive, athletes, either your, high level draft pick ends or cornerbacks or whoever, that these guys would just, it would just be more love for them and more love for, your point guards and your bigs and your starting five. And I think the fantastic thing about it, and what I hoped that we would see immediately, was that these, so many, I think it's great for small companies because you've got these hyper local barbecue joints in the Midwest that are sponsoring entire offensive lines. We've got fantastic gymnasts across the SEC who are making tons of money as young women who, candidly, they're beautiful. They're in fantastic shape. They have hordes of fans who are younger girls in their sports. And in any other circumstances, these young college women would be able to be like Instagram influencers with those size of followings. And then they would be able to get money from their Instagram presence or whatever it may be on their own. Like at Carolina, there was a cheerleader, and she was a cheerleader, so she didn't have to worry about NIL type problems because it wasn't through the NCAA. But she made a ton of money because she'd been a great competitive cheerleader since like being a kid. And so those types of people are now benefiting. And if you look at the numbers of not quarterbacks, not starting five basketball players, not just skill position football players, you see people being able to benefit across all. And then, of course, those men who make the most money in theory, bringing the biggest draw to these college programs, are also getting their due, so to speak. So I think it's fantastic.
6 seconds left.
But we'll have to see how it ages, right? Because of course everybody's good with it when we're 4 months in. What about when it's tax time and nobody knows how to do their taxes because they're in college? Exactly.
What about you, Jay? I tell you, yeah, one thing, Marilyn. Don't you think Jay, if he had NIL back in the Skip Holtz era, that dude would be? I tell you, like the all the tuxedo places, all the stuff like that, you'd be making tons of bank.
Well, I want to know, Jay, what's your one ECU or Greenville local business that would have been like your number one, man, I got to get a deal with them when you were in college?
Oh, gosh. There would have been a lot of food places because I like to eat.
Chico's?
Yeah. Every food restaurant. I would have really liked that. I'll tell you what, though. If I was in college, I definitely wouldn't have known about the tax stuff. I would have just thought it was all coming in, and I wouldn't have
realized
the tax part of it. And that's like, I'll tell you though, like for me, there, obviously I'm all for like everybody entrepreneurship and, everybody getting what they deserve. The only thing that the other side of it is to me is, like for real, there's a lot of these guys that don't know, these athletes don't know about the tax side of it. And I've heard from others that, it is a big learning curve that they don't realize, they've got to pay taxes on this. So I think it's an eye opener, in a way to the real world. And then, another thing, and this isn't really positives or negatives, but it's just reality. When you're taking endorsements or money, there's pressure on you. I mean, think about Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he's getting a lot of money, but I mean, that's a real life situation where if you're not performing, it's going to run dry. So it's almost in a way, it's a kind of a pre-pro with as far as the pressure, and just the reality of the situation. So I think, I'm excited for the athletes that can gain revenue from it and make money on it. But I think there also is another reality, another side to it that's just kind of probably been eye-opening for some and will continue to be that way. So
Dave, you don't know this about me, but my full-time job since the pandemic hit has been a nonprofit with a small Business Improvement District organization in Chapel Hill. And when I say I crash landed and this is how I know God is real, I started on March 9th. It was part-time. Wow. I was supposed to bridge between a job I have at USA Today, which had been dissolved with their corporate merger. And then Carolina's basketball season was ending. And so I was like, oh, I'll take this job. It'll get me kind of into baseball season or whatever I've got next. And then all the sports got canceled and I had to figure out how to work with small businesses all the time in the middle of a pandemic. In that job, it's shown me the benefit to, you know, like Coca-Cola is a corporate sponsor for all of these athletic departments, or Pepsi or PNC Bank, or, you know, exactly. What do we have? First Citizens or Farm? What is it? Farmers National or Geico? You know what I mean? But it's like
Farm Bureau, yeah. And
Farm Bureau Insurance. So,
and Vitamin Health.
And so it's like hospital systems, energy companies, banks, soda companies, and then either Nike or Adidas, or, you know, heaven forbid you get Under Armour or, you know, whatever it was, Russell Athletic that Georgia Tech finally got out of. But beyond that, the price of college athletics never allowed for, you know, your favorite place when you go eat after an ECU game to be formally connected to athletics at ECU, or, you know, if it's Shooter's Bar out on 9th Street or off of Main Street at Duke, or, you know, every place in the country has like the place, right? And this NIL deal also gave a huge opportunity to small businesses to help revitalize their brand, lift their marketing opportunities coming out of a pandemic where all of them were just totally decimated too. So I know it's about the athletes, but it's been super interesting to see the other side of it and see the universities put a lot of education in place for like teaching. Look, here's my bottom line. I hope that 6 years down the road, this means that there's a tax education class available at all universities, because the schools figured out the athletes needed it. And then hopefully the other foot drops and they realize all college students should be taught how to do our taxes, because we'd all be better off if we knew what we were doing when we got out into the real world.
Yeah, I remember as a matter of fact, Jay, do you remember like on campus in Maryland, I don't know if you did, but the credit card companies were just vicious, but coming on campus, and I remember they actually, I'll never forget this. One of the times I signed up for a credit card and I literally got a 2-liter drink. So, you know, but you know, but what I was getting at is the point that they should teach classes like that for, like when you said, the average college student. Is true, because I didn't think about the fact that, like, I had to get a break job one time and taking a date out in college and different things like that. You don't think about, oh, I have to pay that back. You know, when you're 21, I guess I was 21, senior, even when you're an upperclassman, you still don't think about the ramifications of not only those kind of choices, but maybe some other choices you're making on Fifth Street, right, Jay?
Oh, yeah. Only good decisions on Fifth Street.
There you go. See, Marilyn, you'll come down and we'll teach you about. Hey, Jay, what about Sup Dogs? I think Marilyn would like Sup Dogs.
We have one. That's one of our businesses. So there's one on Franklin Street.
Yeah.
And they were never open when I was in school. But yeah, their owner is one of my favorite people of the owners that we work with. He gets it. He gets college branding in a college town. That's for sure.
He's getting people like, where are these celebrities?
Y'all's is way better, is what I've always been told.
It is incredible, the stuff. Yeah, they have like concerts, and especially, Jay, was it pre-pandemic? I mean, they'll have like Lil Jon and different people come down. You're like, where do they get these people from? Like, he's got serious bank to have Lil Jon come in and do a little, like an hour long set concert, you know, like something like that. But
yeah, they have like everybody.
Yeah. That's probably wouldn't you say, Jay, that's probably the hottest place downtown for college kids and those of us that wish we were still in college.
Yeah. That's always a good one. I mean, 519 is always good. That's later on though, at night. Sup Dogs is good to eat.
A lot of food. Yeah, before we get in any more trouble with that about downtown, Listen, I'm sorry.
First of all, we're all of age. You just want to like, we're all adults here.
No, I was talking about, I said the wrong word. I said a bad word on the air. You're supposed to say uptown, and I said the wrong thing. I said downtown. I'm from the era. I'm free. I'm so old. It was downtown Greenville, but you have to say uptown Greenville.
Wow.
So that's the marketing thing they do. So
Uptown, okay.
Uptown, right, Jay? Uptown.
Oh, I still call. I didn't know. I still called it downtown.
All right. Well, you're cool. You're one of the cool kids. You're one of the cool kids.
I don't even know the new. I would just call it Greenville. I don't know anything.
We got to come out and hang out with us downtown. See, uptown, downtown. At least we have our football team is doing better, right, Jay?
Yeah, showing a lot of improvement.
Yeah, we've gone from when the last time you were in Greenville where we won that game against the Tar Heels, but I'll go tell you, there was only 9 wins out of that era under Montgomery to where we've turned things around. Where now when you lose a game you should have won, like Saturday night, it hurts, but it hurts now because it was a close game where you have a chance to win, where before it hurt because it was pride, because you're getting blown out. And, hey, Jay, how about that? The worst game to me of the Montgomery era was that 2017 Memphis game, the end of the 17 season. I was so mad, and I'll say this publicly. Sorry, Scotty, but I was so mad. I said he should be fired and made to like fly on a commercial flight home. I was really upset. Yeah, I was just really upset because our football team is, well, I'm just being honest. Our football team is like our pride and joy. Our baseball is really big, and hopefully our college basketball will get better. We do have a great coach in Coach Dooley, so we're keeping our fingers crossed there. But with football, it was just like it was brutal. So now I'll try to explain to folks that we were so far down. In fact, Jay, it's hard to believe, but December 4th is 3 years Houston's been with us. And that program was so down when he took over. He had very little to work with. I mean, it was like everything you can imagine happened to our university, happened to the athletics department, the football team. And he's taken the team and the depth is better. I'm trying to get Jay to come back and play. Maybe we could, change his name or something. And I think you can still play, don't you, Jay?
I'll find a year of eligibility.
All right. Can you get in the transfer portal or grad
get
student?
COVID year. Get the COVID extra year.
Hey, you're super senior, Jay.
I'm a super senior.
Listen, I don't know, Jay, with that ankle hold up. I'm not trying to come at you, but I'm just looking out.
I'm recovered now.
I'll go. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've had dreams about having another year of eligibility. I really have.
Yeah, that NCC.
My favorite memory of yours. I have dreams about not being graduated sometimes because of one of my credits not coming through.
You transferred to Carolina or from Carolina?
To Carolina.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. One thing I know about, I have friends that went to UNC. And they always say, they always use the term, instead of the university, they say Chapel Hill. Just that's one thing I've known as grad. We're going to see all my friends.
That's a very regional thing because my mom did the beginning of her college career at Carolina. And I think that there's a direct correspondence between places that say that and places where people will also go to or know people who went to South Carolina. And I think that's just where South Carolina is like infiltrated North Carolina. And that's become a thing. Cause it used to drive, like I can remember being a kid, I mean like elementary school, and it driving people who had graduated with my mom insane that Chapel Hill was becoming what people would call Carolina. And then like, I've been places where that's all you hear is Chapel Hill. And I've been places where like when I lived in Charlottesville, Virginia, all they called it is Carolina. There was not a person in the Commonwealth that I ever heard call it Chapel Hill. And so it's, and like, obviously, you know, Debbie Yao made it her lifeblood's mission to get people to call it Chapel Hill. And I think UNC-CH instead of just calling it Carolina. But so I think it's very much tied to like what other colleges are popular in a particular place, or like if you're around a lot of NC State fans, you're going to get Chapel Hill instead of Carolina. But it's funny. I love conversations like that. Like, would you call it ECU or would you call it East Carolina?
Definitely East Carolina, all the way.
And I've never heard it called anything but ECU.
Yeah. Well, because the reason being is that when you're in the media, you actually know how to say the name of the school. A lot of times people will say Eastern Carolina, right, Jay? They say the wrong thing. So that's why there's been a really horrible attempt, but people try so hard to say ECU, 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 because they're so afraid that one of the announcers on the air, I think they do it to screw up on purpose. I really do. But there's so many announcers that never get the name of our school right. Am I wrong, Jay?
Laziness.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable how many people just like don't call it the right thing. I mean,
I'm from Asheville. So like literally opposite corner of the state. And it is Western Carolina University.
Right.
And we had a guy, wait, Jay, did you play ever, or were you on a team with Will Towery?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm friends with Will. He was my little brother on the team. Yeah.
Okay. Wait, yeah. That makes my heart so happy.
Yeah.
Will Towery went to my high school and he was part of a class where they had a lot of guys going to play D1 or, you know, at least high level D2. I mean, they were really good. They should have won a state championship. But when Will committed to ECU, that's when I learned. I was like, oh, Eastern Carolina, because it's Western Carolina and they're the same colors. And it's East Carolina. Like Will Towery is why I learned that. You just learn it once and you do it right. I don't know. It doesn't seem that complicated to me. And I'm from the place where ERN is correct. And I still, you just learn which one's right and which one's not.
I don't know. It's one of those, I agree with you, but it goes all the way back to the Peach Bowl year, which is 30 years ago. And you remember that Jay Lee Corso, I was trying to remember what he said. It was wrong. Eastern, I think he said Eastern Carolina or something like that. And it was so bad that he actually came to the football dinner. I think the next year to like make up for it. But anyway, speaking of football, do you guys have time? We can do some cuts here. I've got three cuts we're going to do for Mike Houston's press conference today for the folks watching tonight. And thank you, Bubba Rosenbaum, for doing that, for cutting these up for us. This first one is Mike Houston talking about the open day. I'll play that right now for you.
All right, a couple of practices into open week. Pretty energetic practice today. Important part of time, important time of the year for us. And, you know, got a lot of things we want to accomplish this week with our travel guys and, some things we want to accomplish with some of our guys that, you know, haven't played much yet. And, so got a variety of things we're doing, you know, this week, on all fronts. So, you know, pretty good day, you know, really looking forward to seeing, you know, some of the young guys that we put in there in certain situations. You know, throughout practice today and see how they did and, you know, evaluate that and have another good one tomorrow.
Coach, after a game like that, a loss like that, is it a good thing there's a bye week to recover from it, or would you rather get out there and play right
again? I'd probably rather play. You know, that was a tough one the other night. And it's, you know, I'm still waking up in the middle of the night with that one. So, you know, you wish you had a game right now. You know, you love, if you won that one, it's a great time for an open week. And that's the tough thing about it. You know, so close, but, you know, the good thing about it is it does give us a chance to heal up, you know, it does give us a chance to get some guys some rest that play a lot of snaps. It gives us a chance to really work on some things that we need to improve on, give us a little bit of extra prep time for the second half of the season because we have some different situations and, you know, we've got a really, really good Houston team that we got to go down and face to start it and then a short week to turn around South Florida. And, you know, so it's just a lot of stuff coming right at this open date. So for those reasons, it's a good time.
And that's Mike Houston on the open date, guys. I tell you what, it's one of those things where losing a close one like East Carolina did, you obviously want to. I think Coach wants to have another game this week. If you win one, you definitely want to have a. You might want to have the open date to, with all the injuries that you have during the football season. Jay, what do you, Maryland? What do you think?
Well, I think it's always great having a bye week after you win. It's miserable having one after you lose because you got to sit with that taste for 2 weeks.
And then plus usually practice is a little bit tougher after a loss.
Exactly. They had a really tough one today, brother.
Yeah. It's usually not fun. I mean, that's like one of the biggest weeks of the year after the last, the bye week. Because if you win, life is good. If you don't, then you're out there in full pads. So I feel for the guys right now.
Yeah, Coach said that today. They had a tough practice. And see, they have Mondays off. So Tuesday normally would be rough anyway. And then you got to imagine too, Jay, they're actually getting ready for. So you have the open date, you have Houston, and then right back there, like we were talking into Maryland, you have the Thursday night game, USF. You don't want to take that one for granted. The Bulls are having a tough season again this year, but that's why you have to play the game. So you have a trip to Houston, and then you have the USF game back-to-back really quick. So you got to prepare for two or three games at once. And then I think Navy's right after that wonderful triple option that Jay loves so much.
Yeah. Well, that one, I mean – that Navy game is always tough, especially up there. But, I mean, I'll tell you, especially in this league, in any league, but this league, it's all about being consistent. It really is, because there's so many teams in the American that, you know, play well one week and bad the next week. If the Pirates can just be consistent, you know, and continue to get better and be level and stay at that same – you know, consistency where you're taking care of the football and you're playing well, they're going to have an opportunity to finish strong. So that's the goal. And really, I mean, this bye week is probably coming out at a perfect time midway through the year.
Guys, while we have a chance too, I want to give a shout out to Mark Calloway. He's a graduate and says he's graduated in 79. So I'm glad I'm not the oldest person on the podcast tonight on the show. Mark, thanks so much for tuning in tonight. If you have questions or comments, you can go to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, we're everywhere. I don't think we do Snapchat, but I don't know how to do Snapchat, so I'm not a Snapchatter or whatever it's called. Jay, do you do Snapchat?
I'm on it, but I'm not much of a snapper.
I am. My entire perspective on Jay Sunalter has changed in hearing that he has Snapchat.
And hearing that I do have it?
Yeah.
Positively. Wow. Negatively.
I just am surprised.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Jay, oh man, I thought, man, that's not good, man.
It'd be good at show.
Dave's deducing something from no words. So
I'm technologically, I'm up on all the Snapchat. I don't ever use it though. I need to get
what about TikTok? What about TikTok?
I'm not on TikTok. No.
I am on TikTok.
Is the show on TikTok?
We have TikTok. But we're not, I don't think that you can broadcast it. I don't know. I'll have to check into that. That's a good question. I have to do that. So our next cut, we're going to do a couple more. The next one is Mike Houston talking about missed chances, missed opportunities. That's something Coach talked a lot about. And that was definitely the case for this game. And we'll play that cut right now for you guys.
Undoubtedly watch that film and you'd see that it was kind of one play here, one play there.
Yeah.
You still feel that way a few days.
Yeah. I mean, and naturally I'm biased. Okay. I don't think it should have come down to the last drive, just in my opinion, but that's my opinion. I thought our kids played very, very hard. I thought we did a lot of good things. I thought we missed a lot of opportunities. You know, first two drives of the ball game to come up with no points is very frustrating. You know, to be deep in the red zone so many times and only have one touchdown is very frustrating. You know, to not be able to get, you know, a couple of stops there in the second half is frustrating. Now, UCF's talent and ability have a lot to do with that. I mean, you know, we walk out there, you know, to start the game, and you're looking like, I mean, they're a good-looking football team. They're athletic. They're big. It's a good football team. I feel like we should have won the game. That's just how I feel.
There, Coach, talking about, I tell you, it was that was so heartbreaking to tell you, Maryland, how the first drive went. We our star running back, Keaton Mitchell, fumbles. What was Jay at the 8-yard line? So you have a situation where the first two drives, you go all the way down to the red zone, you have no points. And that's something that this team has struggled with on Saturday night overall. And when you have a chance to beat a team like UCF on the road in Orlando, home of Disney World, and you have a chance to beat them, they've had our number here for going all the way back to, I believe, the last time we beat them was, was it 2015? I think it's been it's been a while since we beat UCF, so they've kind of become like a rival, and the fact that they've won 500 games and we haven't been winning is kind of a hard pill to swallow, so to speak. So definitely a tough game to lose to, but especially now that we talk about how things are getting more, games are now 50-50 games where we had no chance to win. So that you have to, I guess, look at that way. Oh, and Mark Calloway, by the way, says, guys, gotcha. I'm used to saying ECU. So he just says ECU. So there you go, Marilyn. You got somebody in your corner. Mark.
I just want to be clear. I think East Carolina is so much stronger. When you say it, it just sounds, it takes more of a, it's more of a presence. But I hear ECU from the majority of people. I also like things that are unpopular quite often.
Jay, how about you? You said East Carolina, right?
Oh, yeah, East Carolina.
Yeah, I think East it's just Carolina. One of those things where we're frustrated. It's like another thing, a chip on our shoulder that we have where people can't even say the name of our school right, you know, and that becomes frustrating. But anyway, we need to focus more on wins and losses than that, and on our indoor practice facility and our facilities. Talk about that, Marilyn. You travel around. That's one topic I wanted to ask you. I forgot to mention to you before in the green room is what are some of the, as far as the ACC, is it non-ACC? Who has, in your mind, the best facilities around? I'm putting you on the spot. I know you have a lot of friends at different universities.
You know, honestly, this question I don't like because I don't have an answer. I have seen only minimally kind of the facelift that they've given the North Carolina facilities. But I haven't even, like, I've still not been in the indoor, which they built, I think, now 2 years ago in completion. NC State's indoor is pretty fantastic. And I think they had theirs first in the triangle, but I'm not, for all the traveling that I did get to do at points, it was more so usually for basketball. So I don't know, but I wish I could go tour all the facilities because, man, there's some good stuff out there. Just seeing it online is usually, I see it like everybody else does.
Our number one fan, Mark, again, chiming in, back when he was in school, before squirrels were climbing trees, we said ECU, big trouble, bubbles, no troubles. Yeah, that was, they actually rated back in Playboy magazine, they had the top party schools, and they said, sorry, ECU, we don't rate professionals. So I remember that back. People used to talk about that.
I remember being told when I was in high school, I believe it was early 2000s, maybe, that ranking list came out, and they ranked Carolina as having the best sex life on campus simply because of the ratio.
Wow.
Which I never felt like women far outnumbered men. I think when that report came out, the university had to start letting more boys in.
And so it is.
I don't, that's not, okay, let me be very clear. I made that last part up. I have no idea how they fixed it. But I never felt like it was an overwhelmingly woman filled university.
There's definitely more women in East Carolina, right, Jay?
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But that's all universities. There are more women in university than men.
That's true. Mark is even saying good memory. So, Mark, thank you for tuning in tonight on YouTube. So, appreciate him very much. I'll tell you what, Mark, you can definitely steal some stories about Fifth Street, about the Attic, about the Elbow Room. There's a lot of famous clubs that don't exist anymore, which is really sad because Fifth, you know, you have Franklin Street, you have Hillsborough Street, you have Ninth Street, and Fifth Street used to be like that, you know, like that was the place. And unfortunately, don't get me started on that. That's another show. But unfortunately, there's people that don't want Fifth Street to be like the street for bars and all that. But anyway, that's a whole nother show, as they say. But we're very excited to have you guys on. What game do you have coming up? I guess that will be Friday night, right?
Yeah, we are staying. I accidentally live in Durham. And we're staying here, so I get the shortest drive of the crew for the one time this season.
So you're in Durham. Okay.
Yeah, I'm right by the Bulls Stadium, which is why it feels less Durham-y than it would elsewhere in downtown. But I moved in the pandemic, and this is where I landed. So, yeah, I was bemoaning this to Jay earlier today.
What about Durham? You don't like Durham?
It's not. It's just not. I'm not Durham. I don't fit in here.
You don't fit in here?
It's a little slower than I like.
Really?
It's a little granola-y for my taste, which I understand is ironic given where I was born and raised.
Asheville. Yeah. Wow. I would have never thought that.
I am always happy to hear that. Thank you so much, Dave.
Yeah. So, Jay, so tell me a Maryland. Do you have a Maryland story you can tell us? I'm just curious.
They're all good stories.
You don't have any bad stories? All right. Well, give us a good story.
I just enjoyed the fact. I enjoy the fact that every week we get to do a game together and the teamwork and the preparation that we get to do, but really just the relationships you build. And Marilyn's such a great person. She's awesome on air and so talented, but she's even better person.
I thought he Marilyn. Was there's actually once there's only one story that he could have come with, and I thought it was that's it.
What was that? Tell us that one. Tell us that one.
It was sitting on a tee for you, but I appreciate the compliment instead.
So you're not going to tell on yourself? Is there like it's a story, bad. like a blooper or anything? No.
No, if Jay's not going to, I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't. I wasn't even thinking about that.
That's
we had a bet on Friday night. We had a bet on Friday night, Dave, and I thought I lost it. And then,
but I wouldn't really make it because I knew I don't make bets because I lose. But Jay was like, "You're probably right. Let's bet on it." And then I didn't take the bet.
And you could have won. We're
talking about where a kid committed to school and what position he was playing.
I was dead wrong.
Oh, you were wrong. Okay.
I was dead wrong. But so here's the thing: it was about there were two members of the offensive line who. One's going to Elon and one is probably going to Campbell. And so I knew that on my depth chart, the center, beneath the center's name, I had written the word Elon. I knew the center, according to my depth chart, was going to Elon. And Jay was like, you got those backwards. Like, it's not, that's just flip. And I was like, no, I know it's on there that that's where. And it was on there that he was going to Elon, but it was wrong.
Gosh, I do have a question for you. How do you feel having the first season without Roy Williams as head coach at Carolina?
Ooh. You know, you mentioned ECU's baseball program, and I actually did cover some of Cliff Godwin's teams in the postseason in particular when I was with WRAL. And I love college baseball. And all when right. Mike Fox retired from Carolina in the summer of 2020, they announced that he was retiring and Coach Forbes was going to replace him in August of 2020. And I sent a friend of mine who works in the athletic department a text. And I said, I'm honestly surprised they didn't do his and Roy Williams together.
Wow.
In August of 2020. And even in saying that, when it was announced April 1st that Roy Williams had retired, I don't think I was ready. And I think the hardest part of it for me, you know, I covered Carolina from 2012 to 20, really through the end of the 19 season. I went all the way through the ACC championship. At that point, I was freelancing for Stadium Network. And then I didn't, you know, missed the postseason with them that year, but it was just a couple games. 2019 into 2020, get to do the show. And it's terrible. It's the worst season in Carolina basketball history under Roy Williams is the 19-20 season. And I'm working for the school and for the team doing the basketball show. And then the pandemic happens and I didn't cover any of the pandemic season. And then he retires. And so I think it's really hard because I think a lot of Carolina fans feel about Roy Williams, and I think this is why we saw the retirement when we did, the same way that I feel, which is likely most people remember the 15-16-17 era, right? And that 18 team that everyone expected to go much further with Luke May as a senior and Kenny Williams and Cameron Johnson. And then there was like, what happened the next year? And then the pandemic happened. And it's so strange to see someone with such a storied career end it the way that he did, it with this strange decline. And I don't know. I mean, it's, we'll see. I'm super excited. Hubert Davis is who they hired, but like they have, you know, media day right now is happening in Charlotte for ACC men's basketball, and Carolina opened practice, I think last week. And it has not hit me yet that in no capacity will Roy Williams be coaching that team this season. And then we'll go through it again next year with when Mike Krzyzewski is completely and entirely done. It's just weird. It's just so weird. I can't think of a college football equivalency because Nick Saban is a singular and Dabo Sweeney is a singular, and it's to have them together is just crazy. But I think a lot of people around here, probably state fans in particular, and, you know, potentially, you know, just Wake Forest, and I think people might be ready for it who hate Duke and Carolina being so dominant, but it doesn't seem like fully real just yet.
Yeah, we had to tell you how old I am. When Mike Krzyzewski was hired, Jay, I don't think I've told you the story, Jay. I'm originally from Durham. I'm 7 years old. I'm 7 years old when Krzyzewski was hired. And my grandparents asked me, we were at a Hardee's on Duke Street, and they asked me to get some condiments. I go up to the counter and I look to my right, and there's this young Duke coach named Mike Krzyzewski, who at that time I couldn't pronounce his name. And I was like, wow, I'm 7 years old, and there's the coach, the basketball coach at Duke. And there's a lot of people that I know that don't even know life before Coach K, and I do. And so that's why it's really bizarre, you know, to have a coach. I don't know that will ever happen again, where you have a coach that's at one place for like 40 years, 41, whatever. I mean, I just don't think that's going to – maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know, at D1 basketball, especially Duke Carolina, all that rivalry is right up there with the Yankees and Red Sox. I mean, you could – the Dodgers and Giants that are in baseball. There's a lot of Alabama-Auburn. People don't understand that if you don't live, especially if you're in the Triangle, how big of a rivalry that is. 8 miles apart, guys dating girls at Carolina or vice versa, where the girls are dating guys at Duke, and they go to the same parties, same barbershops. It's just a crazy thing that, I mean, even Alabama and Auburn are not 8 miles apart. I mean, with Tuscaloosa and Auburn. So I don't think people really understand the magnification of that rivalry, how big it is. And it's because I think of the proximity.
Yeah, you hit it really too when you point out the rareness or the rarity of having a coach tenured at a high level major program, not just, you know, I named two football examples, but beyond that, I mean, and you know, Penn State was categorically in that conversation for a little bit. These two might be like across all sports, truthfully, the last two. And I think that's why I'm so quick to tie the two, obviously, to get right together. But I love too that John Shire is the next man up for the Blue Devils. And you know, while I think that both Hubert Davis and John Shire have a tremendous amount of work cut out for them, and while they may not be the next head coach that is there forever, right? We may see both universities take hiring approaches that most universities across the country take, where success is demanded more quickly despite relationships at points. I'm really glad that both have the opportunity to be next, as we see a more of a generational and a culture transition from two Hall of Fame coaches.
No doubt. They're legendary, and both got really good, nice guys. That's the thing that is another thing. You don't. That's the thing. Even though it's a rivalry with Roy and Coach K, they're nice guys, so it's hard to hate them. You know, like they're really knowing what I don't know them very, very well. I don't know Roy outside of just what I've been told by people that do know him really. But that's the thing, is that people only really dislike those two because of the schools they're at. You're talking about the – that was a great point you made about the dominance of those two schools. I think that's the reason why people hate those two guys. Like, if there's a word hate, I hate to use that word, but if they don't like them, it's not because of their personality. It's because they win a lot, and they win ACC championships, and they win a lot of regular season games, and they win – if you think about the other ACC schools, there's not many. If you take Duke, North Carolina, and of course, NC State, especially way back in the day before my time, those three schools dominated the ACC for so long. And I think that's one thing that's going to – you don't know. You're right. I would hate to be more power to Hubert Davis, more power to John Shire, but I'm glad I'm not that guy.
Amen to that.
On top of that, it's sure we had Matt Daugherty on, and to have your alma mater, I think it's a more difficult job when it's your alma mater versus it was not Coach K's alma mater. His is Army. Roy is his alma mater, you know, when you have Hubert Davis. I think you put – it's just my opinion. I don't know. I would put more pressure on myself if I'm coaching East Carolina, because it's East Carolina and my school, my alma mater, versus if it's just any old job where I get to make my own way.
There might be something to that. I will say I'm thinking about other coaches. So Mark Few at his and with Gonzaga, which the most insane thing that I saw anybody throw out there is that they thought Mark Few was gonna come to Carolina, and maybe he was, maybe he really wanted the job, but he, you know, that alma mater connection is one there that is very strong, so we may see him stay forever. And beyond that, I believe Jay Wright at Villanova is a hometown hero with a storied program. Yeah, Dana O'Neill wrote the most fantastic book about the Villanova men's basketball program that won that 2017 national championship, and detailed just how meaningful it was to Jay Wright to be there, to your exact point, Dave, because of growing up in the Philadelphia area and how important basketball there to him was. So Jay Wright, Mark Few, and then, though not an alma mater, Tony Bennett, I think, will be at Virginia until he decides to retire. And it may well be the Cavaliers ACC basketball world with the rest of us just living in it for the foreseeable future.
Exactly. No doubt about it. Mark Calloway is our hero tonight, chiming in. He said, Dave, I sat two rows behind you, one seat to the left during our last regional. You're a great fan. Well, thank you, Mark. Yeah, I'm one of these people. I guess I could ask Jay. I've never been to a game with Jay, so I don't know. But do you guys cheer really loud, or you just kind of like sit on your hands and you're not very into it? So to me, I feel like if I'm watching a game at home or if I'm at the game, I'm going to be very, very loud. Now, if I'm covering the game, that's a totally different game. But if I'm there as a fan watching my team, I'm going to be pulling really hard for my team.
I'm pretty quiet. Well, I really haven't been. Gosh, I haven't been to a game.
You're always covering ECU.
I guess I would say I'm quiet just because I kind of am watching kind of the plays, and I guess I'm not even really pulling. I'm trying to see what's going on, and you know, as far as the plays and what the defense is doing. But I'm usually pretty quiet. I'm actually probably louder at home by myself.
That's
that opposite.
So, no, I don't know the last time I went to a sporting event, any level, any sport, where I cheered.
Wow. So you're always covering the game.
Yeah. I mean, I've always really wanted to live in a pro sports city so that I could have a set of teams that I don't cover and don't, you know, really aspire necessarily to cover, where I can just be like insane. I like hockey because I don't care about hockey 1 ounce. And so it's my favorite sport to go drink at because I don't pay any attention to what's happening on the ice. When they score, everyone screams, people are rowdy, super fun. And I like don't know the rules really. Of I learned them at one point, and they quickly just evaporated from my brain. But I'm bad at tailgating. So I transferred. Sorry to all of the Pirates fans. I transferred to Carolina from Appalachian State, and that's another one. I've recently made new friends who also went there, and they call it Appalachian, and I always call it App State. And so now I've just combined it. But I went back to App my senior year of college because nobody at Carolina cared about football, and football's always been my favorite sport forever. And I wanted to go to a football game in a football environment. So I went and I tailgated, and we told everybody it was my 21st birthday weekend because it was. And I had a guy that also went to my high school playing linebacker at App at the time, and he made a huge play very close to the end of the second quarter. And I missed it because I was enjoying the game too much. And then I started crying, so I left because I couldn't pay attention to the football game. So, you know, it's that's the last time I went to a football game as a fan.
Wow, you need to go. Hey, Jay, she needs to come and be an East Carolina fan, right?
I didn't, but I have to be able.
You need to come to a game.
Mark, yeah. It was Mark, right, who said that you were a great fan, Dave?
Yeah, but this here's another thing.
But I'm a great fan. I wouldn't be Mark Calloway. I would not be a pleasing fan for Mark Calloway to be by.
Yeah, he says that girl's
paying too much attention. Oh, I took my granddaddy this is the last game I cheered at. I took my granddaddy at 89 years old to a Carolina baseball game in 2019 when they were hosting a regional. And he's a huge Carolina baseball fan, and he'd never been.
By the way, Appalachian State is down 20-3 right now, Louisiana.
That game was tomorrow, so thank you for that update. Not a good look, but I guess go Raging Cajuns.
There you go. So you're not going to pull for Appalachian State?
I usually do, yeah. But it's very – I used to say that – hold on. People will – hopefully somebody out there will appreciate this. I said this already in front of Jay, so pretend it's a new joke. I used to tell people that App State was my football school and Carolina was my school. And then Carolina managed to somehow mess up both ends of the joke.
Oh, man. Well, that's another thing, too. What's the fan base like right now with the whole situation with being a top 10 preseason team and now losing again to Florida State? Not to try to bring up that. But
listen. I have always been like my friends, people who know me well, like there's a portion of the internet that thought I went to NC State because of how aggressively I would cover Carolina at portions and how like much I openly like loved covering Dave Doran when he was in a good mood and like love Elliot Avent and the baseball program there. And I would always cover Carolina pretty harshly, but not from a harsh perspective. They got way overhyped. They got way overhyped this preseason because they returned no offensive line, and you cannot have a Heisman legitimate campaign with inexperience on the line. You just can't. And also lose all the running backs or all the ground yards. It didn't make sense to me that they were ever in the position they were in preseason rankings. Losing to Florida State is the Mac Brown curse, I suppose, at this point. But
yeah,
like he can't beat his alma mater, so that's not even a piece of the assessment. They just got
0-10. Yeah, 0-10. It's hard to believe that he's lost 10 times to Florida State. You thought this would probably be the year, but that's the thing is that you're right about that. I think Mac Brown, because there's so much respect for Mac Brown, they have a lot of great coaches he's brought in. They've actually, I think Carolina has actually put a lot of emphasis on the football program again, I think, with the hire. I think it's insane. What was it? Fedora got like $14 million or something, like a buyout. It was something obscene.
I don't remember what amount of money.
I would buy an island. How about you, Jay? If I got a buyout, hey, I want to be the worst coach. Not really. But if I was the worst coach in East Carolina history, I want to have like about a $10 million buyout. And then I will invite Jay and Marilyn down to the island. And we'll just have a great like weekend, week, 2 weeks on the private island. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, we'll do that. And then I'll get a boat. We got to get a boat too. So we can
sit. I'm all in on the boat.
Pontoon.
We were just saying today that Jay and I both are ready for a vacation.
There you go.
Yep.
We'll go all night.
We need a vacation. We'll plan. All three of us need to plan one.
Patrick Johnson, are you listening?
They need a vacation. So we're going to put you on the spot. Who wins on Friday night with Jordan? And I would have gone to Northern at the time because there was no – I'm so old, there was no Riverside in Durham. If it were now that I'm really in the Riverside district where I grew up. But anyway, what do you guys think? Is it going to be Jordan or Northern? I don't even know those about really anything about the program, so you know more than I do. Who's going to win Friday night?
Well, off of records, Jordan's 3-3 and Northern is 1-5. So I think the records and even the teams that those wins and losses are against favor the home team Falcons a little bit. They're a more experienced team as well. So I think they've got the edge, but it sounds a little bit like Northern is due to turn a corner. So I'm not totally going to discredit them, but we'll see.
Yeah, our favorite fan, Mark, says, Marilyn, you know your stuff.
Thanks, Mark. I really appreciate that.
no doubt. Who do you think, Jay? Who are you going with?
I agree with Marilyn. Jordan's got experience, and they've got a guy committed to Duke. So it should be fun to watch him play.
No doubt. One of my favorite coaches was Cutcliffe. I love David Cutcliffe. I think he's fantastic. And they've kind of had a little bit of a dip. I think the pandemic hurt them really bad. Of all the ACC like triangle teams, I think that was the one that they had like a dip. Speaking of a dip, man, they really not the Duke of late that you know. More of the Duke that I grew up with being there in Durham. So I hope they can turn around. How can everybody watch the broadcast? Can we watch the broadcast if we're not in the triangle anywhere for Sinclair Broadcasting that we can watch it?
Yeah. So it streams live every week at 7 p.m. myrdctv.com/watch.
All right, Jay. And Jay, what about you? We're going to win this week. It's an open date, so we definitely won't lose the game with the Pirates. But what do you think about the game at Houston while we have you on?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, that's another one that's tough. But, I mean, we're going to go in there with a bye week. So we're going to have an opportunity to get a step ahead of Houston. To me, in that ball game, it's just going to come down to two things. Really, turnovers, but also can we be physical? Can our defensive line rush the quarterback so we don't have to blitz? And then can our offensive line dominate front and run the ball? Because Houston's more of a finesse team. So if we can win up front, we're going to have a good shot.
I think we win it. I think that after that, I think they are hurting after this loss Saturday night with UCF. I think they're going to come out and they're going to be throwing it all over the yard. I think they're working on some wrinkles. You've given Mike Houston and that staff definitely more time. But, Houston's 5-1 on the year. So you got to say their first half of the season, they've won 5 out of 6 games. So you got to give them a lot of credit. But before we let you go, how can we find you on social media, Marilyn Payne, on Snapchat, TikTok, where else?
The Snapchat only exists to it has a lot of my saved memories over the years in it. So like it's only there as an archive. But my Twitter is Marilyn_Payne and my Instagram is just Marilyn Payne. I don't have TikTok because I'm old, but I watch TikTok, so something for everybody. Just Twitter and Instagram are really my main ones. If you want me for sports stuff, it's Twitter. And if you like to give your opinion, I will post Instagram polls pretty often and give people yes or no's. So that's my main thing that I do on Instagram.
How about you, Jay? He's on Snapchat all the time.
That must be the only social media he's active on, because I don't think Jay really does anything actively on social.
I know. I need to get better.
It's too busy.
I don't even know my Snapchat name. Let's see. Let's look, guys. I think it's JaySunny91.
There you go. Also, JaySunny.
That's your – I feel like I'm jealous he has the same handle on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. That's my Twitter and Instagram. I think I'm just JaySunHalter on Snapchat.
By the way,
no, Jason.
His real name is.
That's it.
Yeah, his real name is Jason Halter. So yeah. We always talk about that.
So the other Jason. Thing, Jason, kind of throw me under the bus for is that my old play-by-play broadcaster that I worked with every week was named Jason, and so at one point I said Jason to Patrick and Jay, and it was actually to Patrick, but they both thought I called Jay Jason, and I just felt like a real dummy. That was like week one.
Well, hey, we all make
mistakes.
They
didn't kick me out.
You're still there. Yeah, absolutely.
I go by Jason, Sonny, Jason.
But your full first name is just Jay?
Yeah.
It's not an abbreviation for anything?
No. J-A-Y.
There you go.
Dave David?
Yes. Yeah, my own air name. Some people call me other things, but anyway, they Dave Richmond. I've gone since '96, so 25 years worth of broadcasting. So, but some people call me David, so it's fine. Whatever you want to call me is fine. But anyway, we'll have. By the way, you can from now on you can be a fan and you can like us on Facebook, Maryland, and you can also on Twitter. We're on at the Sports OBJ. We're on Instagram. We're on everywhere. I think pretty much TikTok. I can't remember what the one is on TikTok. We have the coming up on Thursday night. We'll have our Pirate preview. I guess it'll be more about an open date. So we'll have that. And of course, it'll be instead of the Pirate playback, it'll be college football playback because we have an open week. So I'm sure you can tune in for those, Maryland. And Jay, you watch the show quite a bit, don't you, Jay?
Yes, sir. I'm always tuning in.
Yeah, every time I make a mistake, he lets me know. So,
not true. Right. You make no mistakes.
That's not the type of humor we want.
Yeah, exactly. Maryland, it's great to have you on tonight. It's been a lot of fun. And Jay told me you would be great. And I asked him, he said she's fantastic. And we appreciate you coming on. See, was it really difficult tonight? I mean, you've been on with us. I didn't realize we were on this long.
No, it's because I talk too much.
Hey, that's for the business we're in. Well, thank you for being on. Jay, man, thank you as always, brother. Appreciate you for all that you do. Do you have one more thing. Do you have an ESPN game coming up this week?
We'll be down at Kennesaw State for Kennesaw State versus North Carolina A&T. So that'll be fantastic. On Star and ESPN Plus. Yep, and then Maryland will be.
Oh yeah, I have a game Saturday. I will be at in Buies Creek as the Campbell Camels host the Monmouth Hawks.
There you go. So is that ESPN Plus?
I can't remember if it's ESPN Plus or 3, but it's on the ESPN app across their family of networks. Digital game only.
There you go. So if you're looking for, we don't have a game on Saturday for Pirate Nation. So you got a game with Jay and a game with Maryland you can watch. So on ESPN Plus.
Pick guys, your thank favorite. You so much. We'll never know.
No doubt. Thank you so much for being on tonight. And we'll have you get on real soon. And don't be a stranger, Maryland. You're always welcome on our show. Right, Jay?
Yes. We'll be back.
Had a blast.
Maryland. Thanks Maryland, so much you need to come to ECU. Come and do a game.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. All right, good night, guys.
All right.
Bye, Alfie.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Udon Cheek, assistant track and field coach at East Carolina University. You are plugged into the Sports Objective Podcast. If you are a fan, you are plugged into the right place. And if you're really a fan, you will share that link. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. Boom!